Good morning, everybody. A very warm welcome to you all. And to any visitor here, may I inform you that our fellowship continues in the hall afterwards with light refreshments. There are no other notices, so we'll just have a quiet moment of prayer after I've lit the candle. We welcome Elaine to our pulpit this morning. Have you blessing Elaine?
Good morning. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. And I hope we shall remember that as we move through our service. So I'm starting today with a story. And because I get forgetful in my old age, I've got my crib notes here in case I forget. There's a story about a hermit who stumbles across a cave. And in that cave, there was an enormous treasure. And you know, the hermit was old and wise, and so he realized what he discovered. And he immediately took to his heels and ran away as fast as he possibly could from that cave. But as he was running, he came across three brigands, robbers who were trying to get as much as they could from people. And they stopped him and they asked him, "Why are you fleeing?" "I'm fleeing the devil," he said. Well, they were a bit curious about this, so they said, "Show us," and they forced him to go back to show them the cave where he'd found this treasure. "And here," said the hermit, "is death, which is running after me." Well, the three thought he was absolutely crazy. "All this treasure." And they were really gleeful about what they'd found. So they let him go off. And then they thought, "Well, what should we do?" So they had a think about it. And one offered to go and get some food from the nearby village, and the other two were left behind. And the one who ran off to the village thought, "If I get some food, I can poison the other two." Lovely man, wasn't he? Lovely. "I'll poison the other two, and then I can keep all this treasure." And the other two thought, "Well, if we plot together and we kill him, we've only got to share the treasure between ourselves. We'll get more." Well, you can guess what happened, can you? The guy went off to the village, came back with the food, which was poisoned. The other two killed him and then ate the food. Guess what? None left, and the treasure was still in the cave. And what we're going to hear about today is Jesus saying, "Beware of greed, because it'll get you in the end." So let's move on. So our first hymn is 34. "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness."
Amen.
We come to the Lord with our prayers. Let us pray. The collect for today. Lord and giver of life, you alone nourish and sustain your people through Christ, the bread of life. Feed our hunger and quench our thirst, that we may no longer work for what fails to satisfy, but do what you require in obedience and faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Everlasting Father, Creator of all things, we praise and adore you. You brought the universe into being out of nothing. Your power and splendour are beyond our imagination, and yet you move among us. Morning glory, starlit sky, leaves in springtime, swallows flight, autumn gales, tremendous seas, sounds and scents of summer night, soaring music, towering words, art's perfection, scholar's truth, joy supreme of human love, memory's treasure, grace of youth. Lord, these are your gifts, gifts of love to mind and sense, love that gives, gives evermore. Your love breaks in, you open up our lives at times when we least expect it. You enable us to respond to your grace and goodness. And we thank you for your living word that sustains and refreshes us, stirs and guides us each new day. Help us to be actively open to hear your words of grace. We know we've not always done what you require of us. We've ignored your voice, squandered the gifts you've given us, and been selfish rather than share. We confess all of our omissions, and in silence we bring before you those sins for which we seek forgiveness. We hear again God's words, your sins are forgiven, and we bless your holy name. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we come to our second hymn, which is 254 if you're using a book, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading is from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and will put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor devastate Ephraim again, for I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dot, and especially for those challenging names. It's usually me that gets those. So we're going to sing again hymn 103, God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him.
Thank you.
So Julie is going to bring us our gospel reading from Luke today.
The reading, gospel reading, is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God.'" Praise God for his word.
Thank you, Judy. Today's gospel reading is one of those that can often be something of a challenge. I recollect a very experienced minister once telling a local preachers' meeting that in 40 years of ministry, he'd only preached twice on wealth. Generally, preachers veer away from this topic unless there's some special appeal for repairs to the building. Sorry, Chris. Let's take a closer look at the components of today's gospel reading. First, there's the issue of the inheritance of this man who comes to Jesus. It was often the case that where disagreements occurred, a rabbi was asked to arbitrate, and Jesus has been shown to know scripture and to be a great teacher. Clearly, this man here is hard done by. The brother has something he wants, a share of inheritance. He's interrupted Jesus, and the disciples need to be steadfast in their faith to raise a seemingly trivial matter to all but the complainant. But here Jesus turns an opportunity into teaching for everyone present. In his inimitable way, he guides people, the listeners, through a parable, that of this rich man who is clearly a farmer. Now, in some ways, he appears to be quite sensible. He's had a good harvest. It's so good he doesn't have enough storage space for all those crops. And you might think it's prudent to create more space for the years to come, and particularly when the area is known for famine. But then think about the reaction. It's all about himself. Self. I will store all my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, "You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." The man misappropriates the words of Ecclesiastes 8. not to praise and be thankful for what the Lord has given, but just to enjoy himself. His response is self, self, self. He has all this grain, but he doesn't plan to share. He's keeping everything. John Wesley shares significant light here in one of his sermons on the use of money. He says, and I quote, "The love of money, we know, is the root of all evil, but not the thing itself. The fault doesn't lie in the money, but in them that use it. It may be used ill, and what may not? But it may likewise be used well. It is full as applicable to the best as to the worst uses. It is of unspeakable service to all civilized nations in all the common affairs of life. It's the most compendious instrument of transacting all manner of business, and if we use it according to Christian wisdom, of doing all manner of good. It is true, were a man in a state of innocence, or were all men filled with the Holy Ghost, so that, like the infant church at Jerusalem, no man counted anything he has his own, but distribution was made to everyone as he had need, the use of it would be superseded." Gosh, Wesley was wordy, wasn't he? "We cannot conceive there is anything of the kind among the inhabitants of heaven." Hooray, no money in heaven. "But in the present state of mankind, it's an excellent gift of God, answering the noblest ends. In the hands of God's children, it is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, raiment for the naked. It gives to the traveller and the stranger where to lay his head. By it, we may supply the place of a husband to the widow, and of a father to the fatherless. We may be a defence for the oppressed, a means of health to the sick, of ease to those that are in pain. It may be as eyes to the blind, as feet to the lame. It is therefore of the highest concern that all who fear God know how to employ this valuable talent." So what's he saying? Basically, society needs money to function. Wesley didn't condemn earning a good wage, nor would I add a well-deserved pension. But he did give us good guidance, of which we're reminded through the Wesleyan charity All We Can. And we're reminded through Wesley's words, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Returning to the farmer, rather than using that harvest for good, he's concerned only with himself. Every comment he makes is selfish. By contrast, the writer in Ecclesiastes encourages readers to enjoy life, but remember that it's God who provides. In verse 20 of the gospel reading that we heard, the rich farmer is reminded of one of my dear father's favourite sayings: "There's no pockets in shrouds." Yes, we do need sufficient for living, but happiness, peace, joy, the real wealth comes from treasure stored in the richness of our spirit. In a life that recognises God's gifts, is thankful, and seeks to learn more of his word. Our lectionary misses out the next passage in Luke and jumps on 11 verses to next week. But if you care to read them in between, they remind us of some of the most important messages of our faith. Life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Agreed, we need to take care of our physical needs, but it's our spiritual life which is of the greatest importance. We need to remember the central message of the gospel, which is that we are known, valued, and loved by God. Many years ago in a school, the staff was asked to carry out a time and motion exercise. For 1 week, they were asked to record their everyday activities, time spent in maintaining ordinary life like cooking, housework, gardening, time spent in recreation with their family, time spent in work, and the type of tasks their job entailed. It was intended to provide information about what is now termed work-life balance. The results showed that work, which for teachers included preparation and marking, as well as the hours spent in school, was seriously encroaching on home life and consequently on their relationships and their mental health. However, those who included church activities in their recreation were frequently found to be more focused and complete more in their at-work time. In the busyness of our everyday lives, I wonder whether our spiritual life, our spiritual wealth, can be neglected. I wonder if that might be an interesting exercise to carry out for yourselves. How long do you spend in the busyness of life, and how long in spiritual life? We're able to choose the way we use our time, but do we use it wisely? As Deborah reminded us last Sunday, prayer and fellowship in Jesus are the central part of a Christian's life. Our younger selves tend to be busy in action, but as we grow older, we're more able to be. Not do, just be. To pray. To reflect on God's word. To become more aware of the way God's Holy Spirit moves. We're able to have a wealth of spirituality that we can deny as we rush around. I remember reading once that a well-known preacher, whose name is so well-known I can't remember it, was taken so seriously ill that he was unable to continue in the pulpit. But then he realised that God had given him the space to serve through prayer. He could sit. He could bring situations to God through prayer. In our gospel reading, Jesus chooses not to arbitrate, but to use the opportunity for teaching. In the parable, the rich man chose how to store his harvest, but thought only of himself. We, however, can choose to appreciate, to learn more of God's love, and to become more spiritually rich in awareness of God's blessings. So I'm leaving you with a question to ponder that echoes those last few words of our gospel reading. Are you rich towards God? And if you feel that you'd like to be richer, there will soon be an opportunity, because you may have noticed an extra bookcase in the Connect room. And in a few weeks' time, there will be a spiritual library there for you to use. And I hope to gain more in understanding of God's word. Amen. And so we come to hymn 544, which is one of my favourites, and it really echoes the message from our gospel reading. Stewards, will I wait upon you for your goodwill offerings. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have given to us. We want to learn more of your goodness. We want to know more of your word. We ask your blessing on these gifts and the givers, and we rededicate ourselves in your service. Amen. So we come to the Lord with our prayers of intercession. And there is a response. I'll say the words as we sit at your feet. And will you respond, may we learn from you. So let us pray. Lord, we come to you with our prayers for the world. As we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. Caring Lord, we bring to you our world with all its conflicts and troubles, with the busyness that surrounds us as we humans feel the need to travel fast, eat fast and instantly respond to messages we might get. Lord, teach us to slow down in a way that benefits our relationship with you, as well as with each other and our environment. As we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. Lord of all wisdom and knowledge, we want to take the time to learn from you, to listen to you and to be with you. We pray for our country in these times of change and challenge. As we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. Thank you, Lord, for our church and circuit, for the heritage of faith that has been passed down all the way from Abraham to ourselves. We pray for those who are enjoying a holiday, and we pray that our church would be a place where people can come to find peace in your presence, to stop for a few minutes in a place that heaven is close by. As we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. Loving Lord, we bring to you those whose life is anything but hectic, those whose mobility restricts them from rushing around, or whose health means that they do not have the energy. We pray that they would know your presence and see your glory in their own surroundings. We pray too for better understanding between those who are busy and those who are not. We bring before you today those known to us who are sick or in need. And especially we think of those killed in El Paso, their families and their community. We hold before you the town of Whaley Bridge in Derbyshire, affected by the collapsing dam and threats of heavy rainfall this afternoon. As we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. As we think about your heaven, where there is all the time and eternity to spend in your presence, we pray for those drawing near to the end of their life here on earth. And we remember those who have died and are with you in glory. We think of their families, and especially today, we remember Valerie Hill. In silence, we name before you those of our neighbours, friends and family who need your love. As we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. Lord, as we draw close to you, may you draw close to us. Refresh us, strengthen us, and lead us in your way. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. And so we come to our final hymn, which I'm sure you do know, although a few people said they're not certain of it. Chris, I'm sure we've had it before, haven't we? Yes. So it's, O God, you search me and you know me, number 728. Christ is all and in all. We go trusting in him and with his heavenly riches. Go then and radiate his love. Show Christ. Speak Christ. be Christ, knowing that the love of God and the power of his Holy Spirit goes with you and with us all. Amen.